I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go! Go.
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43-9267-V1.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, an iconic Disney legend is gone, honoring those who are missing for Memorial Day.
Construction in downtown Disney is coming along. Fantasmic has returned. We talk with Tag and James about their transatlantic Disney cruise and more. DL Weekly starts now.
This is your captain speaking to you from the wheelhouse. I'd like to welcome all of you aboard the DL Weekly podcast. For safe passage on our trip, please do not sit or climb on the outside railings. And be sure to watch your children. The water can be unpredictable in these parts, and we'd sure hate to lose any of you.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of May 29th, 2024. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to thank everyone who supports the show. This week, we would like to give a special shout out to Nicole C. for becoming an official weekly tier. Also to Jill M., Josh S., and Sarah R. for your continued support. If you would like to help support the show to make sure that we can keep bringing you the latest news and information, discussions, and interviews about Disneyland, head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
Something that we didn't add on here, but we definitely should, is also if you are a supporter at any of the levels, you get the podcast ad-free. Now let's get to the news. An iconic Disney legend passed away this week. Richard M. Sherman, half of the legendary Sherman Brothers, responsible for music from Mary Poppins, The Jungle Book, It's a Small World, and more, passed away on May 24th. The Sherman Brothers have a window on Main Street at the music shop.
They do, and you can tell that, spoiler alert, we're going behind the scenes here. We did our trivia ahead of recording the news today, but their window on Main Street is... It's actually a door. It's not a window. It's a door, and it's at the porch.
Yeah.
But anyways, I mean,
it's a window on the door.
It's a window on the door, but everything else is like a window, whereas this is a door. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So it's a little, well, and there's the cast member one's a door too. But anyways, he was 95 years old, so he had lived a wonderful life. And the thing that's just, I think, heartbreaking about it, not that, a lot of people think things like, oh, you know, they were so young, they had so much life ahead of them. I think what was very heartbreaking for me about this was just you kind of reflect on the impact that this one person had. And we were talking about this, Tag and I, before recording, and with how many different songs he and his brother made for Disney and then for other things as well, there's probably not a person that hasn't at some point in their life heard a Sherman Brothers song. The fact that there's a Sherman Brothers song playing 24/7, 365, because the sun never sets on a Disney park, and It's a Small World is going and going and going. It's really incredible. There's not very many people that had quite the same impact on the world and on so many people like the Sherman Brothers did. Walt Disney, of course, but there's really not that many people out there. So just amazing. Obviously, their music will live on and on and on in so many, you know, attractions, movies, all that, but also in the hearts of all of us and like our memories. Because there's one, like, you could probably name any Sherman Brothers song, and some, like, most people in the room have heard it, probably could sing it, all that stuff. It's just incredible. If you haven't yet, in the show notes, we are sharing, MiceChat did a really nice write-up, and you need to watch this, like, short about Once Upon a Studio. I did not realize this, but Richard Sherman played in Walt's office the piano melody of Feed the Birds for that lovely touchy moment between Mickey and Walt's portrait in the Once Upon a Studio short. And they kind of interview him and talk about that process, but then he kind of shares some of his own memories from Walt, and it was really, really beautiful and well done. So
the other thing that Teresa mentioned that I think is something to think about is there's this photo also in that article of the two brothers and Walt together that actually came from one of the video things I've seen.
It was a promotional thing, and they were singing Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
Yeah, and Walt like gets in on it. Yeah. And Teresa was like, well, they can all be singing it together again.
Yeah.
So that's really a nice thought.
It's always really difficult, you know, when people, and we, it seems like we're losing a lot of kind of iconic Walt Disney Company folks recently. And it's always just a little bit more and more bitter the more people we lose that work directly with Walt, and the fewer people that are in the world that had, you know, that had the pleasure and joy of working with Walt Disney, the man. So it's, yeah. So our heart goes out to Richard's family in this time of grieving. But yeah, he touched so many, so many lives. It's kind of really incredible to think about. Well, Weekly Tears in the Parks on Memorial Day may have seen something different and wondered what it may have been about. Over at Tiana's Palace and Blue Bayou, there were hero tables set up to honor missing heroes. They had a slice of lemon on the bread plate to remind us of the bitter fate of those who will never return, a pinch of salt symbolizing the tears endured by those who sacrificed all, an inverted glass for those who cannot toast with us, and an empty chair representing a seat that remains unclaimed at the table.
I've never heard of this before, but apparently it's a thing. Yeah. And Disney, what I thought was interesting was the article that we have linked in the show notes. At Disney World, they had somebody set up backstage where the ones at Disneyland were on stage, which I think was really great.
I thought it was a really nice and a very kind and honoring gesture for them to have done. You know, it wasn't anything big and showy, not something that they, you know, necessarily needed or had to do. But it was really, really touching and very sweet. I've seen displays like this, like at local VFWs and different places like that. So this isn't something unique to Disney. This is kind of a national way to honor fallen heroes. And I thought, yeah, that it was a really wonderful thing for them to have done.
I agree. Well, construction in Downtown Disney is coming along nicely. On the west end of the shopping district, the future security area is nearing completion, along with Din Tai Fung. Parkside Market is still a ways away from being complete, but making quick progress.
This seems like the progress is ramping up. So one of the big things is Din Tai Fung from the outside looks more and more finished. And we can tell that because the solid construction walls have actually been replaced with a chain link fence, more temporary-esque construction wall. So people have been able to kind of sneak photos behind the construction wall to see progress coming along. It looks very soon to completion. So this is definitely happening within the next couple of months. And then the security gate there, they notice that there's tables, like the inspection tables that are being installed, which I'm a little sad about because we were hoping for scanners. So I'm not thinking we're going to be getting the scanners like Walt Disney World have, and it probably will still be the manual bag search performed by security cast members. But then the other fun thing too with the Parkside Market is that they're still very much in construction phase, but they've got these fun cutouts kind of in the steel work, I guess. So it looks like instead of it just being, you know, just a regular building, that there's going to be some fun and whimsical.
Well, this showed up in the concept art too.
Yeah,
if you look at the concept art, these things are visible there. I'm just excited this area is finally seeming to near together. Completion because the grassy area is really nice. Like, we've done a couple meetups and stuff either there or near there, and it'll be really nice to just kind of see this area like fully open and inviting guests and seeing how the like normal flow of things. Plus, I'm really excited for Din Tai Fung. I'm hoping, I don't know if it'll be open by the time we're there in a couple weeks, I'm hoping it will be.
It'll be open when we're there for D23. I think that's more realistic. I don't think it's a mid-June opening date, but who knows? There was, I think I forgot to put this in the news, but I did see that a week or so ago, they had interviews that were being conducted for Din Tai Fung over at the Disneyland Hotel. So they are even hiring too. So it's coming. It's soon.
Before we know it, it'll be here.
Yes. Well, an entire area in Disneyland is undergoing work from the ground up. Critter Country, which, as we know, closed a few weeks ago, is like a mound of dirt. All of the walkways have been torn up. There's a lot going on here. The reopening date of the land has been pushed back now, and it is just a quote to be announced.
So do you think...
It's almost unrecognizable.
It is. Do you think right now a good chunk of the west side of the park is dirt?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that some of the stuff, I'm hoping, this is my hoping in this question, do you think that they're taking care of like some facility work and stuff, like some underground pipe
hopefully
stuff and all of that good stuff? Because I feel like, you know, this, the park is
more
old.
This is more extensive than just like widening the walkway.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what this redoing is all the, going how, to you know, like.
It's very extensive. Like, much more, like, it is from the photos that you can see, or if you take a trip on the train, it's dirt and it's piles and mounds of dirt from like the entrance of Winnie the Pooh all the way up to like the log flume, like as close as you could possibly get to Tiana's Bayou Adventure without actually like digging up into it. Like, it's everything is just big old dirt piles. So yeah, don't worry. They were saving trees. There's nice stuff around the trees back there. So I don't think we lost any trees. We may have lost some planters, which we know that I'm not a fan of that either. But at least the trees were saved.
Yeah. One of the comments I saw in the article we have linked in the show notes was something I had not considered. Do you think that they're widening this and getting this ready? Because on the concept art, there's potential that this could be where it links to Disneyland Forward.
I think that would be especially now that they know that that's in the future, why not? They have to redo this area. They're redoing this area anyways because of the new attraction and kind of reworking how the queue's laid out and all that fun stuff. So this was going to be getting touched anyways for that. So if they're able to do it for the current project as well as kind of, you know, doing stuff to help themselves for the future as well, why not?
So you may have talked about this in a previous week, but I'm curious to hear what you thought about. One of the other things is lots of rebar going in near the Haunted Mansion. Yeah. How do you feel about this?
Well, that's where the new walls for the new queue is going to be. Yeah. So
are you excited?
It's hard for me to still conceptualize and see what the concept art looked like versus what the dirt piles look like now. Like, it's hard for me to kind of put those two together because there's still big old piles of dirt over there too. Look at that pile of dirt. It's up over the construction wall. It's so big. So it's still hard for me to kind of see what this will be. We're trying to ignore the Haunted Mansion until it's a little bit further along and it's not as depressing to see. It's just hard to see this area all torn up and I don't know, like a genuinely just like big old construction zone. It's just that area had so much charm and I know it's going to be beautiful when it's done. We're just not meant to see this in-between process.
Are we? So have you heard anything? Because I haven't. Have you heard anything about what the traffic is like around here on a Fantasmic night?
Ooh, I've not heard about that yet. No.
Because I feel like that could be a kind of a bottleneck maybe. Anyway,
I don't know because you don't quite go that. I don't know.
But people do kind of come around that.
Yeah.
So who knows? OK, well, a new droid has come to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge to narrate the Season of the Force version of the fireworks. Fire of the Rising Moons debuted as an alternative musical score for the nightly fireworks in Batuu. And R1 droid named Bard has now arrived to accompany the display with a narrative. Bard and the Fire of the Rising Moons show will continue after Seasons of the Force on nights with fireworks.
I'm very curious to see what this droid, like how he's incorporated into the show. We, as you all know, got to see a preview of the Pixar Fest Together Forever fireworks. Well, the first time we saw the preview, we didn't realize we were seeing the preview because we were watching it back from Galaxy's Edge. So we did actually get to see the official Fire of the Rising Moons show. It was the correct music with the correct show going. And from the place that we saw, maybe I'm just going to speak for myself. I didn't think it was the official show because it didn't line up very well. I remember we didn't realize that they were previewing the Pixar Fest show. And we kind of said, oh, you know, it actually lined up pretty all right with this. It's going to be so good once it's lined up with the correct show. Like, it didn't quite, there was something missing from it. I think part of that was where we were standing in Galaxy's Edge to watch it. So this droid, he looks like he's back.
Near where we were, though.
Is he?
He's on top of where the speeder bike things are.
Oh, I thought he was over by the Millennium Falcon.
Nope.
Dang it. So we just confirmed, yes, he is back by the Falcon. So if you're looking at the Millennium Falcon, he's over to the right of the Falcon.
He's in that like little pocket area.
Yeah, this like quiet little corner of Galaxy's Edge that nope, it's kind of a dead end. So nobody really walks over there. He's over there. So that's where we were wanting to watch. We think watching the show from this area is probably where you want to be watching the show from anyway. So now we have like double the reason to watch from back here to go check out the droid, see what he's doing for the show, but then also just to see what the fireworks look like around that kind of, I don't know, it's almost like a horseshoe shaped section of the park.
That'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Matterhorn is turning 65 this year, and Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar is getting in on the celebration. Starting on June 1st, Trader Sam's will offer a coconut pineapple Dole Whip with a coconut shave topping and blue and silver edible glitter mixed in. It will come in a special souvenir cup decorated with images of the Matterhorn. I need to get this.
I figured coconut, because you like coconut, right?
I like coconut. I like Dole Whip. It's at Trader Sam's. What more could you need?
I'm just curious how much it'll be because the cup it comes in is kind of, it's not like one of those tiki mugs or
no, it's just like a plastic,
particularly themed.
Yeah, it's a plastic. It's like a plastic cup with a print on it, so it's not. Yeah, like you said, it's not one of those immersive tiki drinks.
I don't know. You know me and glitter, and this has glitter in it.
It's edible. It's not going to get all over you. Just get all over your insides.
Yeah, great, because I want it everywhere.
Okay.
I wonder how much this is going to be as well.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Now,
we'll know in a couple of days.
Isn't the Enchanted Tiki Bar, isn't that the inside thing that's hard to get into?
So Trader Sam's Tiki Bar is the like cool stuff's inside, but you can order from the menu.
Oh,
there's an exterior bar as well.
Okay. I feel like that whole complex of eateries and stuff always confuses me because there's the place to order like regular food. Mm-hmm. Then there's like the outside bar.
Yeah, that's
and then there's the inside bar.
Yep.
And the inside bar is where everybody always wants to get.
Yeah, because it's got all the fun effects and the cool bartenders and just the cool ambiance and vibe all around.
Maybe one of these days we'll have to... we don't drink, though. It's like maybe one of these days we should go to one of the mixology.
We've done Spiked Dole Whips. I would do a mixology course at Trader Sam's. Heck yeah.
Well, weekly tiers staying at the Pixar Place Hotel in the concierge level now have a place to hang out. The club-level concierge lounge, named the Creators Club, has opened at the hotel. The lounge offers continental breakfast, wine and cheese receptions, beer, sparkly wine, hot bites, and desserts in the evening. A dedicated team of cast members are on hand to assist guests as
Okay, because we're such Disneyland nerds, the coolest thing to me about this is like the little, like, there's like lounges and stuff. There's a corner that has one of the animals from Jessie's Critter Carousel just kind of hanging out. It's one of one of the rattlesnakes. But there's also what looks like a bug lamp that may have been from Bugs Land.
Oh, yeah.
That's tucked in there. I love all these little details. It's kind of like the DVC lounge, how they have all of those cool little, like, it's almost, I don't want to say it's a museum. It's not, but they have all of these little things on display that are special and unique and in the DVC case, historic. And if this is a lamp from Bugs Land, that's also a piece of Disneyland past as well, DCA past. So I don't know. I think it's very cool.
I wish more places around the parks had stuff like this and wasn't locked behind, like, you have to be a concierge level, blah, blah, person.
Oh, sure.
Because I think it's really cool And it definitely, like, value adds to that service.
Yeah.
But the fact that, like, you and I won't see this unless we're
unless we do the concierge level. Yep, exactly.
I don't know but, yeah. when you think that's going to happen.
One day, Tag. One day we'll do it. We'll put it on our ever-growing Disney bucket list.
James was making fun of me because I kept saying stuff about bucket lists recently, and he's like, I feel like you have a never-ending bucket list.
Your bucket is always
I said, we've been checking stuff off, though, because, like, Club 33 was on there, yeah. VIP tour was on there. Like, those things are all good.
And we did that in one day.
Yeah.
Like, come on. That should be, a like, its own bucket list entry was to do both in one day. I didn't even think that was possible.
Can I also just say, this next story...
Incredible.
The photo from this story makes me sad. And do you know why? Not because of the story at all. Because I forget now that this area of the resort even exists because we never are over there.
Sure.
Anyway, continue.
So the Disneyland Fire Department was over at the Mickey and Friends parking structure last week, but thankfully not for a fire. A pop-up experience from the department was open near the security line for guests to learn how to use a fire extinguisher. Participants would then receive a button, sticker, and coloring page. This looks so fun and so cool.
What a cool, like... thing to do.
What was it? So they could use a fire extinguisher by putting out an electronic quote fire. So they weren't actually like using
live
fire extinguishers, but they got to kind of do a simulation.
Okay.
I would do it for the button, 100%.
Yeah, no, the button and everything is really cool. I'm sorry that these photos are distracting me in totally different directions than what the story is. First of all, I forgot that this area exists, like I just said. But also, it makes me sad that they just built this area not too long ago. What, a couple years, 3 years ago, something like that? And they have these giant green barrier things.
I don't know sitting there. Why. There maybe
it's
there's
to
a
get
reason.
Everybody to go into the security line correctly. I don't know. I just wish they would think about these things and build them with permanent structures instead. Anyway. At least they're building a new security thing going into Downtown Disney.
We were talking about this last week when we were talking about, because this is where the new security, the new security process is with the plexiglass and stuff. So Vern and I were talking that we've got plenty of time this next trip because we're there for a week. We should take a ride on the tram since you love the tram.
I do love the tram.
And then we can go check out how the new security process is.
Do you know what I came across sometime this week? I don't know why. But I came across a video that I sent someone on Discord of me riding the tram for the first time after the park reopened. And my comment with it was, got a little misty-eyed.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
I was like, oh.
I don't remember if I rode with you or if I was doing something and you went. I think.
You were like, you go ahead and ride the tram. I'm going to do whatever
I can't.
It was.
Maybe there was some shopping thing I wanted to do were like, yeah, I don't care. I'm going to ride the tram.
I think, yeah. Or you're waiting for coffee or something. I don't know. It was something where I was like, I'm going to go ride the tram. And you're like, you go ahead.
Yep. I don't remember what it was. I don't think you and I have ridden the tram together. I have ridden the tram with my
family. Because remember we had a photo shoot with Richard.
No, I didn't go to that.
Oh, well, maybe we haven't ridden the tram.
Yeah. I don't think we've ridden the tram together.
I will say that is one thing I miss about driving down from Northern California was we don't get to experience the parking structure anymore. Because there is something about coming into Disneyland on the tram that's kind of...
magical.
I know it's magical. I don't know, you know, it's not, but
it is.
It's
the first ride of the day.
It is the first ride of the day. And you don't even have to pay for anything. And it's usually not too bad of a line.
There you go. You don't even have to go into the parks to get your first ride.
That's
of the day.
True.
You could do that without a park ticket.
Exactly.
Well, for this next story, I am actually going to exit, and Tag and James are going to talk about this. They are talking about Fantasmic returning. The reason I am politely declining and walking away and putting my fingers in my ears and going, la, 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 I've decided I don't want to have spoilers. Since we're going in 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, we're going soon. I figured, why not experience the new version of Fantasmic with fresh eyes
and not
spoil myself on what all changes were truly. I know the highlights. I know Murphy's not back. So I really don't have high hopes in my whole thing. But I decided I'm just going to leave it because I just want to experience it experience it for what it is. So I think maybe next month, that's what you and I can do. Let's do that. You and I next month, after we watch it, let's do like a reaction.
All right. So if you do not want to hear the spoilers for Fantasmic, I would skip ahead to Snack Chat. In your podcast player, there's chapter markers. You can skip ahead to Snack Chat because this is the last news story. So Fantasmic has returned after over a year of being dark since Murphy the Dragon caught fire during a performance last April. The show has brought back the Peter Pan scene on the Columbia, which premiered with the show back in 1992. But this time with the Lost Boys joining in on the fun, there are also clearer visual effects and more pyrotechnics throughout. The ending, which featured the fire-breathing dragon, is gone, at least for now, replaced by Maleficent rising into the air and attacking Sorcerer Mickey. After watching a video of this updated show, I have to say that I feel underwhelmed by the show overall. Now, James, I showed you a video of this.
Yep.
What do you think?
I think you are being hard on it because I think this is one of those experiences that seeing a video of it just won't do it justice for what it's going to feel like in person. Because I think, and I'm going to jump ahead to some of your criticisms that I know you're going to have.
Yes.
I think they will feel better when it's not through the limitations that a camera and its lens has for capturing the atmosphere and the visuals. But go on and talk about your hangups, your fears, your concerns, all of those things that you've got going on right now.
Okay, well, I'll start with the one that has not changed since the last incarnation, which is I forgot, because since the new version has debuted in 2017, I have not seen Fantasmic very often.
Yes.
I don't know why. I think it's because we saw it a few times before the pandemic, and then it came back way after the pandemic, and I think we've seen it once, maybe twice since the pandemic, and that's been it.
Yep.
So it's been, you know, over the past 4 years, I've seen it maybe twice.
Yeah, so you're really digging into the nostalgia on this take.
Well, so anyway, one of the things that they had was the transition from Mickey talking with the magic mirror, and I've always said since the beginning, in fact, if you go back on podcasts, I probably said this at some point, that one of the things I don't like about the rework of Fantasmic in general since 2017 has been like the weird, I call it the weird Mickey noises, because he's like, oh, yeah, ooh, and I'm like, you don't need that. You don't need that. It doesn't have to be there. And you thought it was really cool because he's talking to the magic mirror, and the magic mirror is like, come, do you want to do this? And he's like, I don't know. And he's like, all right. And then he's like, oh, I'll do it. And then it was like, you're trapped.
Yeah.
You liked that.
Yeah, I think it's a cool idea of Mickey's forced to face Maleficent and the rest of the villains. It's not just the dream is taking him there or someone else has forced it. He is making the honest, sincere choice of like, I can be the hero. I can figure this out.
Okay. The other thing, and I don't remember if this is a 2017 change or this is new since this just returned, but I feel like the light posts that they have on the island, they use a lot more than they used to, and I don't think I like it. Because before, I felt like these posts were used for the beginning to kind of like set the stage and kind of blind you in a way, like at the beginning, because it would blind you when it hit you.
Oh yeah, it brings you into the world of imagination.
And it would like beam down on Mickey so you'd see him, and then they kind of went away until like the end when they did like colorful lighting for when the Mark Twain came out. Now they use it as part of like Mickey, like, well, the villain uses it a little bit to kind of like, it's like they're gathering strength, maybe.
Yep.
And Mickey does the same thing where they bring in like different lights. I know it's lights and not magic. So I think like it takes me out of the magic of it, and I want it to be more magical. Now, they do have some cool projections that look like fairy dust and magic and stuff, which looks cool. I told James 100 times watching this video today, I said, I should like this more because there is more pyrotechnics and there's more explosions and things. I just don't.
Yeah, I feel like you might have finally gotten to the point with an attraction that there's just too many changes that it doesn't just give you the same feeling, the same dopamine hit, whatever it is that you are expecting out of it. And so seeing that change and not being sure about it is definitely tough. I think about the lights. Okay. And that is a big one for me that I think is hard to see what it's actually like without being there.
Sure.
Because the camera picks those up so strongly sure. every time we see them, and it really kind of like washes Mickey out in part of those scenes. I'm guessing in person they're not quite as dramatic okay. as that.
The other thing I wanted to say, because you're talking about my nostalgia with it, are you saying that this version of Fantasmic is like the prequels for me? Like, because I always talk about Star Wars fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And how, like, whatever you grew up with is your Star Wars. So people that grew up with the prequels think the prequels are fine.
Yep.
People that grew up with just the original trilogy, like, that's the only good movies.
Yep.
So do you think that I've gotten that point where I'm like, it's not the Fantasmic of my childhood, so I'm upset about it?
I think it is. Okay. And at least that's how I feel a lot of your complaints about it is okay. they've made changes. They're not just improvements in technology or things they had to do. They've intentionally made changes to try to improve it. And I think that in your case, you're arguing they're doing too much, which I think is a lot of times a good argument in a lot sure. of things, because simplicity can go a real long way, especially in a show where at the point of these lights, we've probably been watching for, what, 17, 18 minutes? So we've really been drawn into this story. We're really into it, but probably also getting a little mentally tired from all sure. of the things that are happening. So there might be a good argument that point, it's just too much, let alone with all those new pyrotechnics you're talking about that Maleficent is shooting at Mickey, which from my little watching with you seemed a little haphazard, like didn't seem necessarily like timed and choreographed super mm-hmm. great with things.
The video was from the opening night, so maybe it'll get better.
Yeah, and I gotta imagine so. But I appreciate the attempt to try to do something. I'm definitely sad that it's not Murphy or something just so like overwhelmingly terrifying, like Maleficent rising up, yes, scary villain doing cool things, but like Murphy is gigantic, Murphy is intimidating, Murphy is all of those things that you really want to have in that last mm-hmm. villain, which just makes Mickey's moment so much more powerful to yeah. me at the end.
So the other problem I have is when Maleficent came out before, they keep what used to be there. Maleficent comes out, Maleficent grows with the vines, everything, because with Murphy transitioned into the drag, like you went up because it was like growing.
Yep.
They did the screens. She disappeared. The dragon came out. It was very dramatic.
Yeah.
Now she kind of just stays up there. Mickey used to be in Brave Little Taylor Mickey outfit and yeah. he had a sword, which made sense with the dragon.
Yep.
But since there is not the dragon, Mickey is Sorcerer Mickey again, which is interesting.
Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Sure. Sorcerer's Apprentice Mickey. And what's weird to me is, so she grows or whatever, they do all the projection thing, whatever. But then what gets me is, as she's growing, she like, there's like some lightning flash. I'm watching this as we're talking about it, because I'm trying to remember. Okay. So Mickey just kind of makes his way around the stage as she's cackling and whatever, and there's some fireworks that shoot off, and she kind of, like, shoots them at Mickey, but it's not really, like, you don't really see her waving like she is shooting it, like, out of her, I don't know, it's just very, like, the timing, like you said, is weird. And then the thing that everybody loves, and I remember from the very first time I watched it, that is the coolest thing, is that they set the river on fire, so they still set the river on fire.
That is amazing.
But before it was cool because it came from the dragon.
Yeah.
And this way, she just kind of like waves at the water and it catches fire, which I guess is kind of cool. I wish they would have done B mode. Now, B mode of the previous Fantasmic was they would mist screen and you'd still have the dragon, but instead of the mist screen going away and there was a physical dragon, you would just have Murphy on the mist screen. And he would breathe fire on the mist screen and the thing. So you'd still get the dragon effect. I think they should have kept that, because just going directly to Maleficent on this pillar thing is not as exciting. And then something that I should like as well is when Mickey attacks her, there's fireworks that like shoot up the pole, which I think is really cool, because it's like he's actually like hurting her. But they use the fountains too much, where sometimes the water from the fountains is obstructing what's happening on the stage. So again, less is more. I don't need the fountains and fireworks and project. Like, I don't need all of it at once. At least right in that moment.
Yeah. I like the initial look of the fountain, like that really distinctly blue water that's kind of like cleansing magic is kind of what I imagine it is. But then I'm with you. It's probably a little too much. I think probably my biggest problem with this is just like how slow it feels. Like when you had big hulking Murphy, it was okay that things could take some time. But Maleficent's just out here for a really long time. For me, it's just not quite as satisfying as that.
Yeah.
Now, the rest of the show, though, like, is still doing what we're hoping for, especially getting Peter Pan back.
Yeah.
And I really like how you point out to me that the Lost Boys have showed up now. Like, that's a great addition to me. Mm-hmm. That is more theming, more story, more things to look at. Great to really embrace that. And I'm really happy to see that, you know. Pirates was really nice. It was a great try to throw that in while it was hot and popular, by all means. Like, I think that was a good choice to try something, but I'm glad it's going back to Peter Pan. It just seems like the right kind of fit and story style to go with this. I remember seeing, as Weekly Tears in our Discord chat were talking, that I think it was Lee was like, I just want TikTok back now.
So that was another thing. So TikTok, the physical TikTok did not come back, but they do put TikTok on the mist screen. So at least he's there.
Yeah.
But it's just not the same as having the physical thing out there.
And maybe that was a B mode, since, again, from that first night, they were also pushing.
They were pushing the Columbia with a boat. Yeah.
So maybe there was something else going on with that.
Okay. I hope you're right. And I hope that when we see it in person, I will be like in the atmosphere and the surroundings and it's not on my screen. But I also think it was tough because it was such a good show from the beginning that anytime you change it, it's kind of like, what's the point? It's perfect. Now, doing additions like when they went from the terrible looking dragon to the great dragon.
Oh, yeah.
But I've also heard in the comments on Mice Chat, I saw that there were some comments that said that it sounds like Disney is working on trying to get a new dragon, but it was not ready in time. And instead of holding the show for another year or however long it's going to take, they wanted to do something.
Yeah.
So I guess that's good.
I think it's adding to the Disney atmosphere that you want, and things that people have come to love in the park. So I would say it's better to have it back than not.
Sure.
Unless you're going to put something new in there, as Walt would probably be pushing for new things to be happening. You can't disagree with on that one, but Fantasmic is such a hard one to see go.
There are parts of Fantasmic that I think are easier to change than others.
Yes.
You know an easy place to change stuff? The boats. The princesses that comes out.
Yep.
You could put Coco on there. You could put Encanto on there. You could put like characters that are newer to like update it. And that would not feel like you've changed the show a ton.
Yeah.
You could do that. The Chernabog sequence that seems like it goes on forever. You could put another villain in there as well. Like, you could update and add some things and it doesn't change the fundamental. So kind of like what they did with Pirates. It kept the same feel. It just was the Pirates instead of Peter Pan. I just think the ship and everything, because of the lighting and stuff they did, I just think it looks way cooler than it's Peter Pan. Yep. There's something more whimsical about a flying boy fighting Captain Hook. Like, I don't know. There's something just about that that I just love.
For me, it's just so much of Fantasmic and the storytelling is based in the animated storytelling.
Sure.
And so when you bring in Pirates, that is, you know, based on the theme park attraction brought to life in human actors, it just has a different sensation to me.
Sure.
And so that's why I like the Peter Pan as well as everything else that's kind of been thrown in there. It's an animated story.
When's the last time you saw Fantasmic?
It's been a while.
Are you excited to see it when we go?
So excited.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening to that. We're going to move on to Snack Chat. We'll bring Teresa back in. Thank you, James, for joining for this part.
Glad to take over.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Westwood One.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go!
With Erlita, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erlita is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erlita may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erlita can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erlita is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erlita.com. CP439267V1.
We have to get the snacks for Tag and Teresa and James and Bern. Oh, and Cinderella. Time for Snack Chat.
Well, for this week in Snack Chat, we actually have a couple of stories for you. One is something that you can enjoy at home that's from the parks. We are talking about the Seven Greens Gumbo. The Disney Parks blog just released and shared the recipe for this delicious dish. There are quite a lot of ingredients in the dish, which do help give it all of that flavor. If you want to try and make this at home, be sure to check out the link in our show notes.
Did somebody eat this when we were there last time?
Yes.
It was good.
Yes, you tried, and we both tried it from there. The thing that I was really excited about is how they break this down. So they break it down to like what the roasted vegetables are, how to do the chicken and andouille sausage, and then how to do the gumbo. The thing I really like about them breaking it down like that, you can make this vegetarian very easily if you want to. So I really like, I don't know if that was intentional in how they wrote this recipe, but very easily can you omit any meat if you're trying to make this vegetarian, which I think is great.
You know what's interesting? So I looked at the giant list of ingredients.
It is
for the
a
gumbo,
big list.
But the steps are super easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I just looked down to the steps just for the gumbo. There's five steps, and the longest one is like 3 seconds.
And one of the steps is ladle into bowls. So they're not even difficult steps, and there's only five of them. Oh, look at that. And it's plant-based, not even like vegetarian. So that means there's no other meat products in the rest of it too, which is awesome. But yeah, no, Vern and I already talked about this because he loves gumbo. He loves some of the gumbos that he's had at Disneyland. He has not obviously tried this gumbo yet because we have not eaten at Tiana's Palace with James and Vern just yet. But we're going to make this at home. At some point, this will be made in this house.
Well, there you go. Well, the other thing that came out was the Pride Night dining packages have been announced. There are some packages available at Riverbell Terrace and Cafe Orleans and the Plaza Inn are the three locations that you can get the dining package.
These are interesting because typically with dining packages, it goes along with something, right? We've got like the Fantasmic dining packages or the Pixar Play Parade dining thing or World of Color or even like the fireworks with the terrace.
This is just to eat.
This is just things to eat. The thing I also found a little interesting to me, just quickly breezing over these menus, the only thing unique that isn't something you can typically get on a normal day is over at the Plaza Inn, which of the three, that'd be the one that I would choose.
Is it the fried chicken waffles and syrup?
It is. It's a hot honey dipped fried chicken served with waffles and warm syrup. There's a specialty beverage.
You know who'd be all about that? Producer James. He loves chicken
and
waffles.
There you go. And a dessert as well. And in the photos, look at the photos, Tag. Specialty drink. I don't know if this is just for the photo op or not, but look, there's a Mickey-shaped glow cube, and we know how you love your glow cubes.
You know, I got a glow cup on the cruise. I didn't get any glow cubes, but
look at the fun. It's like a little cheesecake, but I like the little rainbow like dot. I don't even know what you want to call it. The rainbow dot swirl that they've got going on there. Oh, it might be the battered and fried Monte Cristo sandwich.
So this takes up time of your Pride night because I'm looking at the details here.
No.
And it's not like you could get something beforehand.
The Plaza Inn does start at 6 o'clock for both Riverbell and Cafe Orleans. Looks like it's like, well, Cafe Orleans for sure, the reservation started at 8 p.m. Riverbell doesn't have listed what time their reservations start. I don't know. But yeah, I did check availability earlier in the day. Plaza Inn did still have 6 p.m. slots, but there was the one that was surprising is the slots that were sold out or already filled up were the late night slots. So people wanting to end their evening with doing the dining packages, which I thought was interesting. Me personally, I would try and do a 6 o'clock slot so I could have a good meal before attacking the party.
I agree with you.
These are fun. If this is your thing, I don't know if this is something
that we
will do necessarily.
That seems pretty pricey for...
I don't know if it's all you can eat or what, but...
I don't think so.
At the Riverbell Terrace, I should take that back because there are a couple of unique offerings here. Riverbell Terrace menu, it is a la carte here. You can choose from spicy chicken sliders, impossible meatloaf melt, short rib mac sandwich, a watermelon and tomato salad, pork belly burnt ends cheese fries. The dessert that evening is a key lime pudding. What does Cafe Orleans have?
Cafe Orleans has the Monte Cristo fritter, which is gluten-friendly, a croque monsieur and berry salad, a cheese Monte Cristo and tomato soup, a peanut butter and jelly Monte Cristo sandwich. They're very Monte Cristo. Battered and fried Monte Cristo sandwich. And then for dessert, they have a variety of sweet options. That's all they say.
Kind of curious about the peanut butter and jelly Monte Cristo.
That could be good because then they fry it.
Yeah. And floats. So there's like assorted beverages and an assortment of floats.
Well, you know that I have
You could have a mint julep float.
Well, you know that I have to go to the Golden Horseshoe this time because they have a Dr. Pepper float thing or whatever, a Pibb float or whatever it was, remember?
That's right.
So I got to try that.
I need to freshen myself back up on what the Pixar Fest foodie guide all has to offer. Goodness. I just remember there was it was a shorter list of the things I did not want to try than the things I did want to try because it all looked amazing. But yeah. I don't even remember the Dr. Pepper float.
Well, that was like something that they usually have there, but we had to just come up somewhere. Yeah, because remember I was very excited because I was like, I could finally get Pibb somewhere in the park.
I remembered that, but I didn't know about the float, but I guess why not?
Well, they do
root beer floats, so why not?
We first spoke with our friends over at Where in the Park back on episode 265. Amanda and Kevin create amazing and fun scavenger hunt games in theme parks all over the United States. Whether you want a challenge at the Disneyland Resort or want to explore a new place like Universal Studios, Knott's Berry Farm, or SeaWorld, there are fun game packs for everyone. From beginner to expert, Where in the Park is perfect for a first-time visit to experience the small details that make the park's wonderful places to visit or to challenge yourself on your 1,000th visit to see how well you know the small details. Where in the Park is for you. Visit the link in our show notes to get started. We have to remember to bring these with us this trip.
And be sure to use promo code DLWeekly for a discount off your order.
Pilots, we've detected some producer questions near Jakku. Report to your DLWeekly vessels and make the jump to hyperspace. The 77 Squadron will provide support during your trivia mission. Good luck, and may the Force be with you.
Welcome to Trivia Land, where we've got some great questions from me doing a little deep diving. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I've heard while I was gone that you were pretty rough, so...
That was the listeners.
Well, I'm just glad I'm not...
I'm
just glad I'm not visiting Trivia Land alone. I have some help this time.
Well, yes. Well,
like you need it. Like, you're the one who usually helps
you
me
You weren't
out.
Here for the last 3 weeks' worth of questions.
Do you think I would have helped you with the questions?
So, I think you would have gotten the parking one. How many parking spots were in? I can't remember which ramp. I feel
she
like
did
you
say that on the air
that, out.
That was totally a you question.
Yep, I was like, Tag would be able to do this one.
And Tag, I don't think you give you enough credit. That I mean, you two do bounce off of each other enough that you talk each other into answers. I mean, sometimes you talk each other out of answers too. But I mean, you do. I mean, you work well together. You're a team.
Sure.
So, all right. Well, I don't mean to be a downer, but
oh, Lord.
But with the recent passing of Richard Sherman of the Sherman Brothers, I wanted to pay an homage to him with tonight's questions.
Okay.
And talk about Sherman Brothers' influence on the parks. So I have four questions and a bonus.
Okay.
Based on Sherman Brothers in the parks.
I'm ready? Telling you right now, all Teresa right. has a heads up on this one because I don't know as much about them as I probably should. I have not watched. Did you watch the Disney Plus thing with him?
Yeah.
See, I haven't. So.
Oh, well, this.
The boys.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This might it's be your good. Redemption night where everything is far too easy and you know all of the answers right away. Let's see how you do. Your first question tonight. And all of this is just me doing a deep dive and some Googling and seeing what I could find. Richard Sherman's Disney Legend window can be found on Main Street in Disneyland. What business name is given to that window?
It's something about like...
This is hilarious because in our news story today, I saw the window and wrote a little
it's
bit about the
about
window.
It's something about like two brothers piano. It's two brothers something. And it has to do with the piano or like tuning pianos. Or
I think it's something about tuning for sure.
Yeah, it's two brothers.
It's two brothers
tuning.
Something.
Maybe it's
yeah.
that's what it is. Two brothers tuning.
Something like that. There's a fancier word I want to say. But yeah, anyway.
But yeah, two brothers.
That's the vibe blah. That the window gives for sure.
All right, so two brothers tuning or something like that? Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
All right. Your second question. Which Sherman Brothers songs are played on Disneyland's attractions currently?
Currently.
Oh, well, that's It's a Small World.
Yep.
The Tiki 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 Tiki,
Tiki
Room.
On, did you say Disneyland rides?
Disneyland, yes.
Okay. The Winnie the Pooh. Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Is that a Sherman Brothers thing?
It is a Sherman Brothers
song. Is it Heffalumps or just the Winnie the Pooh?
Winnie the Pooh.
Okay. There was another one that I was looking at and I was like, oh...
Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow, but that's not
that's,
in Disneyland.
That's probably what I was thinking of. That's in Disney World now, yeah.
I think those
that's might be
I
it.
Think those three are the only attractions.
That are still there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, final answer.
Yeah.
Okay. Your third question.
You should have had to sing those, Vern.
We kind
who
of
who says
did.
That's not the bonus?
Yeah.
Third question. Running until August 2017, the Great Movie Ride also featured a Sherman Brothers song. Do you know what song and what movie it was from?
I'm guessing it was from Mary Poppins, and it was probably...
Oh, yeah.
Is it Feed the Birds or is it Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? Probably that one.
I experienced the Great Movie Ride once in my life.
Me too.
I don't even remember if Mary Poppins was... If there was a Mary Poppins scene.
But see, like, what other movie would there have been from the Sherman Brothers in it, though?
It did. That doesn't need to be. They did other things other than Disney.
I'm going to stick with Mary Poppins.
They did, like, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I think it was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Well, I'm going to say Mary Poppins, and I'm going to say Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, probably. No searching.
I'm trying to think if they did Chitty Chitty. Now I'm wondering about Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Do you have an answer?
I don't. Your guess is probably as good as it comes with. I can only think of like Singing in the Rain, and there was the Wizard of Oz section.
There was Indiana Jones.
There was an Indiana. There was Indiana Jones.
Yeah, because they have where they picked up the Ark box thing.
I don't. Yep. Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Because that actually had like actors in it.
Yeah, I don't remember the attraction well.
There was like a gangster one too.
Yep, I remember that part because they you like park and then they run around. Mm-hmm, there's a Wild West section.
There was also a Gone with the Wind section because it was the plane. So, what do you think?
I'm gonna go with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang just because. I was trying to remember. That's not Disney. Who did Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
That other production company that was putting out stuff at the same time. They also did the Gnome Mobile and a couple other big hits, and they used the same kid actors that were in Mary Poppins.
MGM.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with something from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. The Chitty Chitty Bang Bang song.
Which makes sense because it was Disney MGM Studios in the beginning.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang song.
You could assume. Get this just by guessing this. That's good.
Yeah,
as right. soon as I said, I don't think it's Disney, I'm like, wait, maybe it was, because there was a lot of crossovers, because...
It's in that style.
Yeah. Yeah.
That Bedknobs and Broomsticks kind of style. Yeah.
I'm going with Chitty Chitty Bang. You're going with Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I'm not writing that down.
It's kind of like the Pixar-DreamWorks rivalry now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Well.
Okay. So we have dissension in the ranks.
Yeah.
Tag saying Mary Poppins and Supercalifragilistic. And
forgot about this guy. Teresa
saying Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and the theme song, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your fourth question. In 1983, the Sherman Brothers returned to Disney to write a new tune entitled One Little Spark. For which character did they write this
the
song?
Best character Figment. Ever, Figment.
For Journey into Imagination for the Imagination Pavilion in Epcot.
Yes. Oh, so there's another, I mean.
Is that your final answer?
Yes. Okay. So there's another current song in the parks, but not in Disneyland.
That's why I was very clear, Disneyland, on the previous question.
Would you have remembered, would you have known that? If he would have just said Disney Parks, would you have thought?
I don't know if
spark?
I would. I would have gotten there.
You think so?
I think so. Yes.
Okay.
She probably would have, because she was telling me all about it when we were last at Disney World. I don't know. And your bonus question.
I don't know if I would have thought to hop to Epcot though.
Yeah.
I may have gotten stuck at
Magic Kingdom.
Magic Kingdom.
Oh yeah. Your bonus question. Including songs written by the Sherman Brothers in 1966, 1968, and 1974, ooh. Which Disneyland attraction opened in April 11th, 2003?
Disneyland?
It's a Disneyland attraction
Rewind.
That opened in 2003, but the attraction itself includes songs that were written in 66, 68, and 74.
Is that Winnie the Pooh?
That when sounds did, timeline right, because
I'm gonna say
Country Bear Jamboree closed on September 11th, 2001.
There you go. 2001. So I'm going to say The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Because I always remember that it closed on the day of 9/11.
Was that intentional or just like...
That, I
like,
think, was did, the day it was supposed to
that
close.
That was just the planned date. Yep. I didn't know if it was like moved up or, you know,
no.
if the timeline was changed.
No.
Are you going with Winnie the Pooh as well?
Sure.
All right, so Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Hop in my vehicle.
Oh my goodness!
You missed that question.
That was a good question.
Well, there wasn't there like what the names of all the vehicles are?
Yes, yeah. I was trying to catch him up over the weekend when we were doing our streams as to what questions he missed.
Yeah, well, can't you see from your end the used questions?
No.
Oh, I thought you could.
We tried to. Well,
we tried to make it work. It didn't work.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I go back to like last week's episode in Notion. I don't know if it shows up or not. No, there's nothing in the answers.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Because you gotta flag it with the episode number or whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, so that was your final answer for Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, that was our bonus, huh?
Yes, that was the bonus question, yep. All right, well, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? Stick around until after the discussion topic, and we will all find out together.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Westwood One.
Well, for this week's discussion topic, we are joined once again with Tag and James, who just got off of a 13-night transatlantic Disney cruise. So this was special because of a couple different things. One, 13-night cruise. Hello. How awesome is that? Two, transatlantic. So there was a heck of a lot of time of at-sea days. But three, and most importantly, Tag and James are both cruisers, but this was their first ever Disney cruise. So we're going to try and condense this as much as we can since they did get to see, do, and eat a lot in those 13 days. So yeah, so let's just kind of start with your first impressions and or kind of like prep or what your thoughts were going into this cruise.
I'll let James start.
Yeah. Okay. So prep and thought going into it was 13 days is probably going to be a long time. So it's good for us to take it slow and just slowly enjoy the things that are on the ship, embracing the atmosphere.
Yeah, you got plenty of time.
Yeah. It's like there's probably a lot of things that'll be happening. There will probably be some things that only happen once, so we need to make sure that we prioritize if we want those, but also still that there's a lot of time we can't do everything.
What was the longest cruise we've been on before this?
We did an 8-night cruise for our first cruise that we did together.
Yeah, so we usually, just to give you some background, we usually do longer cruises. We do 7 or 8.
I think we've done 2 7s and 8 and a 3 was our short one that we did.
It was 3 or 4, something like that. Yeah, it was short. But we usually like the longer ones because a short one, you probably felt this way on when you went on your Disney cruise, that it feels like you just kind of get your hang of where things are. And you're like, time to get off.
Oh, see, For us, I think Vern and I were very unique. I think if we would have maybe started with a non-Disney cruise and a long cruise, that may have been our one and only cruise. So I think I think the 4-night cruise was a good way for us to kind of ease into it. Because going into it, we were like, what if we hate it? We don't want to be stuck on the boat if we think it's terrible.
But you loved it, to be
clear. It was a good taste. Yes, we loved it.
Yes. So
it was a good taste.
So the dream served us well. So we had a great time getting on the ship. Tay can tell you his first impressions of the ship before I go any further.
This was my favorite. We talked about this on the streams this weekend because Tay did share some of his cruise experiences on the streams. And this was my favorite story because I was messaging with you both before you guys embarked. And I forgot that you hadn't been on the ship for very long. Mm-hmm. And so knowing that he's a big ship person, when you talk about cruises, it's always like ship first, and then maybe you hear about the itinerary, maybe not, because it's really all about the ship for you. So I asked you probably at that point had only been on the ship for like an hour and a half. And the first thing you always do, right, is you go eat. So really you hadn't done much of anything to have been able to answer this question for me. But I asked what your thoughts of the ship were.
So we got on the boat, and as Teresa said on her recap last year, that moment that you get on the boat goes very fast. Like, you give them your name, they welcome you on board, whatever. The atrium that we walked into, I sent pictures to Teresa, and Teresa said, your atrium is way bigger than the atrium, because we were on the Dream, mm-hmm. which is a bigger boat than the Magic or the Wonder. The Fantasy and the Dream are sister ships, so they're pretty much the same. And the very first photo I took on board was not, I think there was a character or something off to the side. It wasn't that. I took a picture of the chandelier because I was like, yep, that's really beautiful and cool, mm-hmm. which later on they told us that every few cruises they lower it down from the ceiling and they clean it.
Wow.
They said that they have housekeeping clean it and it takes them a couple hours, but it like actually comes down from the ceiling so they can clean it because they use a leaf blower because there's so much confetti and stuff stuck up into it, which when we saw it later on in the cruise, I mean, you can even see from my photo here, like there's definitely confetti and stuff in there. But anyway, went right to Animator's Palette. The hallway that leads from the atrium to Animator's Palette was gorgeous. And I turned to James and I was like, yep, of all the ships we've ever been on, this is my favorite.
Yep, and that was the text message he sent.
He's like, the atrium and one hallway.
He's like, I've only seen the atrium and a hallway, but it's my favorite ship I've ever been on.
Well, to be fair, one of the things in the hallway that I have a photo of is they had all the portholes down the entire hallway had a cushion so you could like sit there. Most of the ships that we have been on have had like one or two of these.
Oh.
Or the portholes like this are in areas like bars where they have like seats in front of and usually people are sitting there. This was a whole hallway of these and I thought it was... Now, other than this photo, I never actually sat in one, which I should have.
But you had the option to if you wanted to.
But I loved it. I loved it. Now, I want to cover...
I want to start derailing this already because I think this is important. That hallway is a tripping hazard.
It is.
I don't understand how, because it is flat. A flat hallway. But so many people, including us, lost footing on that hallway, or a foot didn't get picked up high enough.
Our shoe would like catch on the like
because it was like shiny and sticky.
I don't know, but we almost biffed it a few
times.
That's
funny.
Yeah.
I just want to start from the
beginning. I mean, not funny, but yeah.
I just want to let people know, to be fully transparent at this point, so you can get an idea of what we did. So we booked the Disney Dream, like Teresa said, 13-night eastbound transatlantic from Fort Lauderdale to Barcelona, Spain. It left on May 5th to May 18th. We booked a GTY level stateroom, which is the cheapest. You have to pay in full. You don't get to choose your stateroom. It was a veranda stateroom. We knew that. It had restrictions. So, like, we couldn't cancel. We couldn't do a lot of things. And they would assign it to us.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that process. Because how was it not knowing what your stateroom number?
Well, towards the end, I was getting anxious because, as Teresa had recommended, I used my work account, my work Facebook account, because I don't really do Facebook, to join the Facebook group for the cruise, which also allowed us to join the WhatsApp group on board, which was very helpful. And a lot of people in the Facebook group were explaining that they also had this like level of ticket or room or whatever, and that usually they would find out like 12 days before the sailing what your room number was. So when we were in Disneyland at the end of April, we actually got our room assignment. But Teresa was laughing because I was constantly checking the app to see if anything had changed. But anyway, it ended up saving us because, again, this is 13 nights on a Disney cruise for two people with a veranda balcony stateroom. We paid $4,516. So not bad for a Disney cruise for that length, especially. Yeah. That was our room. We did get assigned a room. We were on deck 10. We were right below Cabanas, which is the buffet on board, which was great because anytime we wanted something to drink, like from the soda fountains or whatever, we just went up one set of stairs and could get all of that. And like breakfast was super easy because we'd be like barely awake and be like, oh, we should go get some breakfast. And we'd like wander up one floor.
There was a day I had to get breakfast for both of us.
Yeah.
And it was very nice that I only had to walk that far.
We were a decent amount away from the main like entertainment venues, which are on decks like 4 and 3.
And the opposite end of the ship?
No, so we did a lot of trivia and stuff, and a lot of that was done in the adult venues that were at the back of the ship, and we were at the back of the ship. So,
also known as the district.
The district. So we would we got in the habit of walking down all the stairs from deck 10 to deck 4.
Yeah, why not?
Because it was like walking down is easy. Mm-hmm. We learned some cool stuff. We took a tour like the first day. That was like the behind the, what was it called, James?
It was about like the design of the ship.
Oh, we took one of those tours. It was just like, ours was just called like a ship tour. So we went on it assuming it was going to like show us where all the stuff was so we didn't get lost. But it was more about the theming.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we were in the bar called Meridian, which is named that way because it is in the middle between Remy and Paolo. Ah. And it was themed, the wallpaper and stuff, which I wouldn't have even noticed if they didn't point it out, was themed to like stamps, like on suitcases or whatever. Passport stamps. But it was like really subtle.
Yeah.
And we learned that the deck five, which had all the kids' stuff, it was lower on the stair, or like through the stairs. Yeah. And the district level was taller because kids like get afraid by like two big things. So like it did it. The other thing that was interesting was when I watched videos, like walkthrough videos, the district felt very confusing to me because there's a lot of like curvy like walkways and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they told us, follow the pixie dust. The pixie dust will always lead you to an exit or to a venue.
Oh.
And so we learned, pixie dust. I will go this way and we'll end up on the walking track. I'll go this way and end up at the elevator bank, or go this way and it'll take us to the district lounge.
The District Lounge.
Where, like, trivia and stuff was. Or in Evolution, which was themed after, like, a butterfly. That's where we also had a bunch of adult, like, trivia and stuff like that go on. Yeah. So we thought our location was great. It was very quiet. We never really had, we never heard cabanas above us get loud or anything, right, which people were saying could have been a problem.
Well, the nice thing with cabanas is that it's daytime. Yeah. You don't have to worry about nighttime noise.
But it opened early a few days and like we never heard anybody above us. There was one night where I think they were moving the furniture to like clean the floor and we heard a little bit of that, but we never heard like guests.
Sure.
Which was great.
James, what were your first impressions of the ship?
I thought the ship was really cool. Like, it had a distinct kind of classic style to it, which was really nice. I'm not super picky about that. For me, what was much more important was just our ability to navigate it and figure out the layout. And this
ship... Some of us struggled a little more than others.
Yes. Teg was still lost on day 10. But for me, it was super easy. Things made sense most of the time for wherever we wanted to get to. There were a lot of ways to get to places, which was really nice. Things that were really good for us on this one, especially compared to our last ship, was having a third bank of elevators was really nice. Yeah. I know not all cruise ships have it, but man, that makes a big difference. Even a couple of days, one or two of the elevators and one of them would go down, you still don't feel a huge impact because you can just kind of meander towards other ones. Mm-hmm. The other thing that was really nice was not having a casino on board. A lot of the other ships that we've been on have casinos. Actually, all of the other ones have. And a lot of times you have to go through the casino to get to where you want to go.
Yes.
And not having that be an element was so nice. Basically, on every floor, if you really wanted to, you could go past staterooms on the outside of the ship because like 88% of the rooms that guests can stay in were at least outdoor viewing, if not balcony. And so they had them on the side. So those hallways were always options if you needed them to be. That was a huge perk for me. The ship overall... It is definitely a big win for me on this trip.
And I just want to be clear. My ability to navigate the ship was not because the ship had a problem. The ability for me navigating the ship was the fact that I was just excited to be there and I wasn't really paying attention to what was happening. Sure. So I would start to, I would get turned around because I'd be talking to James or like thinking about something else. And I'd be like, we're going this way, right? And he's like, no, that's the front of the ship. And I'm like, well, where are we trying to go? He's like, the back of the ship.
You gotta look at the, you didn't use the star trick? They didn't tell you about the stars?
The stars helps for front and back, but that doesn't tell me, that doesn't remind me, oh, the Walt Disney Theater's in the front.
Oh.
Yeah.
It doesn't remind me that Evolution was in the back.
Got it.
Teg also didn't get all the sea directions because we split up one day and we're meeting and I sent him a message on the app of like, deck 11, starboard side near the pool, and he went port side, ran into people who we've had dinner with, and he's like, have you seen James? He's supposed to be here on the starboard side.
And he said, oh, the starboard side's over there.
This is the port side.
So. I don't remember port and starboard either. Don't worry, Teg.
Port is left. Four letters, four things, starboard right.
I'll remember that, like, when someone tells me when I'm on the ship, I'll remember it for the duration of being on the ship, and then it just goes. It just goes. So let's talk about the app, because the app was something that I found very helpful, very useful. And when I did my non-Disney cruise, I didn't realize how much I loved the Navigator app compared to what other cruise lines do or may not do for their versions of whatever their apps are. So what did you guys think of the Navigator app and how useful, not useful? I thought about that with the map. When you said you were getting lost, I used my app a lot to try and remember where things were. I'd remember what like, oh, it's on deck 3, but yeah, you couldn't remember if it was the front or the back.
I don't think I showed Teg that there was a map on the app until like day 5 or 6. So that probably would have been useful earlier.
I wouldn't have looked at
it. I mean, it's not as good to like when you're in Disneyland, you got like the blinky little dot to say you're specifically here. This is how you get there.
I found the app to be really useful. Like it did everything I kind of expected it to do. You know, it was pretty good at having all the activities laid out. You did occasionally have to close the app and reopen it to get some updated activities.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But they tried to make sure to tell us that frequently in the first couple of days, so we know that. So that was really good to have changes for. I mean, the restaurant times were really good on there of whatever was open. The menus were good. My biggest gripe with the app was the inability to search for activities. So if I was trying to find when Star Wars Superfan Challenge is, I had to scroll and just endlessly scroll to find it. So I would have really liked to have been able to just search or have a few more filters that exist so that way I could really find the things that I want to find.
We had, like, we were able to, like, favorite things in the
app. We could do that.
So we did that.
But this was, like, when trying to find. Now, unlike your, like, 4-day or 3-day cruise, we had 13 days worth of stuff to look
through. That's the other thing is they put all the, which I liked. I liked that they put the entirety in at once because the non-Disney cruise, it was like per day that they would load stuff. So I liked having the ability to look ahead so then I knew, is this a one and done thing or do I have options to do this again? Because we ran into two things happening that we wanted to do that were happening at the same time.
And it was nice that if you did click on something and something else of the same name exists in the app, it would show you the other times that it happened. Nice. So it did have that going for it. But again, you had to find it.
Gotcha.
I wish we would have had the search. I learned about halfway through the cruise that there was the filter section so I could filter out all the like teen and kid stuff. Because I'd be like, oh, that sounds fun. Oh, I know, it's for the teen spot. I did that too.
There are so many cool sounding kids activities. Yeah. My gosh.
I know. I did that too. I had to filter them out so I didn't have to keep like being disappointed that it wasn't something I could do.
We did that a lot. It
wasn't, you guys have that same thing.
And I got used to the Disneyland app where like, for instance, let's just say you were looking for a restroom. In the Disneyland app, you could just type restroom in the search and it'll show you all the little restrooms are. Where in the Disney Cruise Line, there's no search anywhere, which I wish there was, like James said. In general, the app was fine. Like, I don't have any major complaints about the app. The only thing that I was sad about is just like everything else, like so many things with Disney are on the app now.
Yeah.
That, like, I wish. The only reason I had ever take my phone with me was because I needed to look at the app to figure out what was going on or what was happening.
And to take photos.
But
and for the WhatsApp chat to tell you that there was a whale or dolphin sighting so that way you could complain that we'd miss.
We did use our Magic Bands, which we used the Magic Band Pluses that we had from the parks, and we were able to link that. It was so easy when we checked in. You couldn't link it to the app before, but as you checked in the port, they were like, do you have Magic Bands? We're like, we do. And they'd say, give it to me. They go, boop, there you go. It's working.
Nice.
And it would just link. We didn't have to do any of that. And so when we got on and when we got to our room, unlocked the room. The only thing that was awkward with it, and I just didn't care about it after a while, but it was just strange in the beginning, was when you would order something that did cost money. So like I ordered some like strawberry daiquiri, virgin strawberry daiquiris or whatever. You have to hand them the thing because they have to take it to the register.
Sure.
And some days it was like warm and like it was like sweaty because it was on me and I'm like handing them my sweaty Magic Band.
Yeah.
And then they'd bring it back and then like I'm trying to put it on and sign the little thing. Like it was just a lot.
Sure. That makes sense because if you have a key card, they just take your card.
But I never had to take my key card out of the room except when we left the ship because that was how to get back on the ship. But they said, otherwise you don't ever need your Key to the World card. And then all same thing with money. Like I didn't take my wallet or anything. All I had was my Magic Band and my phone. Whole time we were on the ship. And so I liked that. James's card, actually, we left in the closet right next to the front door. So when we would come into the cabin, we would take it and put it in the little power thing. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where his card lived and mine lived like on the desk or whatever.
And then we learned to leave it in the power thing and just not push it all the way down. That was really smart of us. We learned
that about like day 7 or something.
Oh, I think it was like day 9.
Yeah. Because we were like, oh, we could just pull it out. And everything would turn off. Yep. So
instead of fighting over the closet. Oh my gosh.
People in the WhatsApp chat were talking about this. Apparently there people make little power cards you can get, which like and so it's kind of themed for that.
That's so one of the things you guys I know you guys didn't participate in this, but that's what a lot of people will do in like their little pixie dust things, is they'll pixie dust those power card.
Yeah.
Things, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
So basically what it is so your Key to the World card or the card that they give you, that's your room key card or your payment method, the thing that link, like that they know it's you and that they know that it's your room, that they call that the Key to the World. Tag and James were using their Magic Bands instead of that because they can kind of use them interchangeably, but it's basically a plastic card, like the size of a credit card.
Well, it's like when you check in at a hotel and they give you a card.
Yeah. Yep. So what you do is to try and conserve energy is they make you put one of your key card. The thought process was to put a key card in this little slot when you enter your room,
which powers everything on,
which allows you to then turn lights on and air conditioning, all that stuff. And then when you leave the room, you take your key with you. So then it turns everything off again to conserve energy. But it is kind of a pain if you've got like your key card in a lanyard or whatever. So people started making, they're just basically card blanks, but of course they'd theme them for Disney or for whatever cruises. Yeah. So yeah, I've seen people do that for Pixie Dust, and people use that for their cabin gift exchange things that they sign up for.
I will also say one thing that stumped us, and it shouldn't have, was the very first day we could not figure out our balcony door.
Oh.
Like, we got it open fine, but we couldn't get it to like lock, because we didn't understand that you had to twist the door handle all the way, because it like lifts it up, and then you could lock it. So we were confused. But once we figured it out, it made a lot of sense. But back to the power conservation thing that I thought was kind of funny. So they want you to conserve power. Mm-hmm. However, we would come in the evening and our cabin steward had turned on like half the lights and the TV was on and all this. I'm like, if you're trying to conserve power. But the reason the TV was on most nights was, this is something with the transatlantic, four nights in a row, we had more, but four in a row of turning the clock ahead an hour. So as 4 days in a row, imagine daylight saving, 4 days in a row.
Yeah.
The crew didn't like it because they had to work late and then get up even earlier. We didn't like it because they would still schedule things early.
Yeah.
And then like each night would feel later. And then like it was day after day. It was like four in a row. So it was like, oh my goodness. What did we have total, James? Like six?
There were six. Ooh, or was it seven total?
Wow.
Time changes.
Yeah.
I think it was six.
It was six. From Eastern time zone to Central Europe is six.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not the first night, but four somewhere in the middle of the next six, because those were our days at sea.
Yep.
And then we had one to get into Lisbon. And then from Lisbon to our next port, which was the next day in Cadiz, we had to do one as well.
Now, they really want you to know this, because not only do they put it on your TV and they have it on like a bunch of TVs around the ship, but at the end of dinner every night, they're like, just as a reminder, set the clock forward tonight. And we're like, oh my goodness. Like, there was no way you could be on the ship and not know clock was going
ahead. I could see the opposite.
And they message you in the app.
Very easily happening, where you have no idea that it should have, you know what I mean? Because you don't have like cell service, so your phone's not automatically updating. And
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I could see people very easily missing that was going on. So since we're talking about the app and talking about all the different activities, let's go there. Tell me about what activities were going on, because I feel like, from what I had heard, the activities that you guys got to experience on the transatlantic cruise, since it was so many days back to back to back to back at sea, they, I think, I'm going to say, got a little like creative and pulled out some of the stops, because you guys got to experience a unique array of things, I believe.
I'll let James talk about some things that I think he'll enjoy talking about. I'll talk about the things that I think I'm going to really enjoy talking about. Can I start, James?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So we had four, but we can't remember the fourth one, deck parties. So we had the sail away party, which was fun, but what was our, there was something that we thought was weird about it, didn't we, James? Wasn't it like loud, or we couldn't hear the lady talk, or there was something about it?
It was that, and I think our biggest gripe with most of the sailing parties is the crowd. Like, the first bit of crowd up against the stage was all just recording what was happening on stage. And for me, deck party is like, we should have people like dancing, laughing, having a good time. And so you lose that first hunk of the crowd, and it just kind of takes away. And plus, with the cruise being emptier than a lot of the usual ones, it didn't fill the full deck. So you didn't really get that genuine kind of party-ish experience I would be expecting.
Yeah. So we had the sail away party, which was
good. We had like tons of children up at the front dancing for ours, but you guys didn't have probably
We did not have
ship.
As many children.
Yeah.
A lot of the kids, until towards the end of the cruise, a lot of the kids... We didn't see most of the cruise because they were in the kids' areas.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
It's great. It's
you're wonderful. On a Disney cruise, but it's like you forget that there's children there.
I also did not know, or had forgotten, because I know once I say this, you're going to be like, I told you that. I had forgotten or did not know that not only did they play When you wish upon a star on the horn, but they played seven?
It was six or seven different
ones. Six or seven other tunes, and they play all of them. Like, as we were leaving, they were like, let's just go through them all.
That is not what happened on the Magic. Because
it was,
had like,
it's a small world.
It's just the one.
Yeah, we had When You Wish Upon a Star, which was the like default. By the way, I loved the fact that every time there was going to be an announcement on the ship, it was do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It was the When You Wish Upon a Star, like, chime.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love this. This is so nice.
And it's like, but it's very relaxing.
Yeah, it's not like bling or whatever. Yeah. But they had It's a Small World. Hmm. They had
A Dream Is a Wish Your Heart Makes.
Yep.
Yo-ho, yo-ho, Pirate's Life for Me. Yep.
That's fun.
Be Our Guest.
And Do You Want to Build a Snowman? Yep.
Really? Oh, I'm looking forward
really
to this.
We couldn't really hear him one of the days, and we were on the running track when we were leaving one of the things, and the lady was, we were talking to a lady next to us. She'd been on a bunch of cruises.
Oh,
she's
she
like, oh,
great.
Yeah. And then she'd hear it, and she'd be like, oh, yeah, that's whatever. And I was like, oh, I'm glad you heard that, because I wouldn't have heard that.
Yeah, no, I think we just had the When You Wish Upon a Star, and that was it.
Yeah. So the sailway party was great. The Pirate's Deck party was really cool. Yeah. I think the Pirate's Deck party was the one that people got like the most involved in. Mm-hmm. Most people were out on the deck. Most people were doing things. Jack Sparrow rappels down from the screen or whatever and comes down and does stuff. Really cool. We had a good Jack Sparrow, too,
I
think. He was
lots of people,
good.
I'm sure this was your experience, too. Lots, like, we brought stuff to dress for Pirates Night, and I wasn't sure what that was going to be. Holy cow, everybody got into Pirates Night, and it feels like everybody kind of...
I got to show you this photo, because it's hilarious.
Where's something? Even if it's just the little handkerchief that everybody gets that night that's left from, like, the cruise gifts you... something to wear, but everybody
there was.
So these kids are dressed amazingly, by the way.
Yeah, they are.
And then we had somebody dressed as Tinkerbell and somebody dressed as a parrot.
Yes, that's awesome.
And Pete, I think that's dressed
as Peter
Pan.
Yeah.
But like, if you just look in this crowd picture here, like everybody's dressed up.
Got something.
They gave bandanas out, but I bought some ears for James last time I was in Disneyland, so he wore those.
And pirate shirts.
I was also very impressed. Oh yeah, here's us with two of our seatmates at dinner.
Yeah, so they were actually selling the shirt that Tegan bought for me on the ship.
Were
so
they?
Yep. So I was matching with one of our dinner table mates.
There you go.
Then there was another deck party, but I can't remember what it was. And then there was Mickey's Color Spin, which was kind of like they would spin to pick a color, and the color corresponded to a character, and the character would dance, and they kind of like lead the dance. But they went through all the characters, so it's like, whatever.
Sure, sure.
It was fun. I think a lot of people got into that, too, because they played a lot of like fun music that was easy to dance to.
Yeah.
But a lot of people we had talked to on the cruise had, or at least a couple of our table mates, were very excited for this deck party. Like, it's so amazing. And then we went, and it was fun, but I don't know if it was so amazing like they were kind of pitching
you
it
You preferred the Pirates.
That one was probably the most empty deck as well. I think it was just poor timing, because I think it was on a port day.
Oh.
And
it was at night, too, wasn't it?
Like, and I think we had an hour change that night, too, so...
Ew.
Yeah, so it was kind of rough. But I mean, they brought out Max and they did Powerline. It was pretty awesome.
That's true.
Fun. I was saying this weekend on one of the streams, it's amazing, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, at some point, too. The characters, how many characters are on these ships, and how many different outfits the characters have. Because you're on a ship. You have limited space. So the just the amount of storage just for... characters was wild to me.
So this was like, I'm showing Teresa a video here of like the color, because it was for Daisy.
Yeah.
So it was pink. She came out and did like a little dance or whatever.
Spin and,
and so this was kind of the group, by the way. Like, and then they spun again, and then they picked, I'm just looking at this video, orange, and then orange or red. It depends on what you kind of you're looking at. And that ended up being Pluto.
Oh.
And then so like Pluto came out and did some type of
thing.
Like, dance or whatever. So
cute.
It was fun. Yeah, we had a great time with those. James, do you want to talk about the Broadway shows?
Yeah. Okay. So we had three of the full stage shows from their entertainment cast. So we had Beauty and the Beast, a 45-minute representation of it. This was just outstanding. We had early dining, and that means that we would see the late show.
we had the expectation that we'd want to see this twice, and they were only doing it once on the whole cruise.
Like the one night.
So we skipped dinner that night to go and watch it twice, and it was a great choice. The show was so well put together. They made such great use of the stage. The people were incredibly talented, from Belle to the dancers and everything else. It was just an incredibly magical experience, as you would expect for like a Disney theater production.
Awesome. One of the coolest things about this show was it used a lot of screens for like the sets of the background.
Oh, sure.
But what made it really cool was when you watch a real production, when they change sets, like sets will come in from the ceiling, the screens would show like this thing coming down. So it would feel like a physical set, even though it was like a screen. Now they had physical sets, but the background. And one of the neat things was the side of the stage was screens, but they could also pivot. So then they became like hallways. So when you're in like the castle, it became like hallways that they could like come out of or whatever But then when it was like the town or whatever, they could like close it and it felt like you were in the town. It was very cool. I've also, of all the productions I've seen, and I haven't seen a ton of like actual Broadway shows, but this stage had so many like trap doors and things that things came out of and did different things. They had areas that came up and like a bunch of smoke came out of it. They had a giant pit thing in the front that entire set pieces would come up on. They had another section where it would like go away, but then another one would come from the side and like fill it so you could like load something else onto it. They had a couple different ways to like hang people from things, because in a couple of the other shows we saw, there was like Mary Poppins Aerialists came down at one point. Stuff. In Beauty and the Beast, the beginning where the hag becomes the beautiful thing, she like lifts up and looks like an angel. And it's like, oh my goodness, it's so cool.
The Enchantress.
Yes.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yeah, so that was great. That was,
we saw it once in the balcony, once in the orchestra.
Yep, just to make sure we had the full experience. So, but the first show we saw was the Golden Mickeys. So they did that like night five or something of the cruise.
Did you have Golden Mickeys on your show? Okay.
So it's like a little award show where someone gets flung into hosting responsibilities. And I thought it was cute. They did a nice job. There's technically a story to go through it, but it's kind of just chaos of like, let's go to this Disney story next.
Oh, sure, sure.
Which absolutely works for what they were kind of doing. I thought it was cute and spot on for good family entertainment.
But nice.
Not as good as Beauty and the Beast.
No. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. The awkward thing was at the beginning, they have like a mock like red carpet press thing. So they actually live, I thought this might have been pre-recorded, but it was live.
Yeah.
They have a camera person and one of the like actors out in the lobby, like, and they interviewed some girl like, what are you excited for tonight and all this? And like, she did great. But there was a guy in the balcony with us in a tuxedo and he was trying to interview people and he picked someone that wasn't
ready to be interviewed.
No, was not.
They're from the Netherlands, and English was not a great second language for them at this point.
Okay, sure.
So he was like, but he wouldn't like move to someone else. He kept just trying to get it out, so it was very awkward. But it was cool. I liked the concept a lot, and the show itself was a lot of fun. This was the first show we saw in the Walt Disney Theater, which we thought was weird because we were expecting there to be something in there every night as like the main show.
Yeah, I would have thought so too. But
and it ended up being that way later, but not the first like couple days of the cruise. Because later we ended up having, which we'll talk about, we ended up having like a magician come. We had a guy who was a mentalist come. We had a guy who did like a physical comedy thing. So like those people were in there. There was a crew talent show.
We'll get to those later, Tate. We'll get to those later.
Okay, well, what was the last one, James?
I could see that being difficult just because 13 nights worth of big stage show entertainment to put on. I could see how it not every
night. But on cruises we've been on before, it hasn't been big things. It's been things like the love and marriage game they hold in there or whatever.
Oh, sure.
Because we found sometimes being in Evolution, which is where a lot of the stuff we wanted to go to was, Evolution was a great space. It just wasn't big enough. Like there was always people not having seats. It was a lot of standing room only. Like there's people that would come in and then like leave because they wanted to sit somewhere.
Gotcha. Or because if they were standing, they were behind people or in front of people.
Yeah.
Sure.
So
sure.
Yeah. So the last show that we saw was Believe. This was on our last night. this one is way better than it should be. It left me wanting to like cry. It was just such a really emotional, well done story that went through a lot of different Disney components and stories and songs and a lot of underused Disney parts, but it felt so like cohesive and nice together. Like, my gosh.
My highlight was the storyline for this is you have a dad who is like a scientist, and you have this daughter who believes in like magic and like all this wondrous stuff. And she's trying to like play with her dad a little bit. And her dad's just like, I've got to get this scientific thing done. You know, there's no such thing as magic. It's a trick of the light. It's a this, that, the other thing. And the genie shows up, of all people, to kind of lead the dad through all these magical things to kind of like bring him around to magic.
Sure, sure.
And the best thing about the genie was it was just like Aladdin, the musical spectacular. They weaved in jokes that were current. And sure, I turned to James and I said, this is Aladdin, a musical spectacular, but a different thing. And it's amazing. But it was a great story. They brought in Mary Poppins was part of it. They brought in, who else was magic, James?
Baloo showed up.
Baloo.
Mother Willow showed up. Tinkerbell showed up.
Oh, Tinkerbell was awesome. Tinkerbell, okay, Teresa, Tinkerbell, at the very beginning of the show, it looked like they had shined a laser on the side of the stage to like look like Tinkerbell, and sure, they had like some pixie dust coming down. Towards the end, when Tinkerbell had to like come back and do something amazing, we thought it was a drone at first, flying around the theater. This glowing ball was flying around the theater.
That's cool.
And it was so cool. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was just a really nice mix, honestly. So,
yeah.
Like, they used the space incredibly well. There are so many good things that happened. It was funny. It was heartwarming.
I wish we would have also seen this one twice. It was that good.
Yeah.
But we had watched the later show, and we're like, oh.
See? Another reason to do late dining, because you get the early show, so then you know.
We also didn't want to miss our last night of dinner, though.
It was our last night of dinner.
That's a tough call, too. Awesome. So, other entertainment around the ship. Let's maybe shift and do some daytime activities that you did.
Trivia.
Yeah. So
much trivia.
We played a handful of trivia. I would say maybe we averaged
a handful in 13 days.
Yeah. We probably only averaged about one session of trivia a day.
Wow. Okay.
There's some reasons behind this.
So early on, they didn't have a lot of trivia happening, and the trivia they did have happening, they kind of repeated a couple of them.
Sure.
So, for example, one of the first things of trivia we did was brain teasers, and we found another couple to partner up with, because you could have teams of up to four, and we just happened to find a seat next to them and work together. Well, they had already done this same trivia before, and about half of the questions were repeats.
Mm.
And so it kind of lost its luster with me on that one. Now, the way they presented trivia was pretty cool, because every venue that they were in had screens, and so they could put the question up for people to read.
And it was themed to Knowsmore, which was awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
And it was always
a little answer sheet, isn't he?
He's on the answer sheet, too. Yep. So you work your way through your 20 questions, you do your answers, and then whoever has the most gets the medal for your group of four.
Yeah.
Most trivias were, you know, self-graded on the honor code. Some people, seems like, didn't play by the honor code because...
Dishonor on
I
you.
I know.
Dishonor on your cow.
Exactly. Yeah, we heard about it from a couple people that was like, it seems like this family keeps winning every trivia. They always seem to have one more than everyone else.
We see, I'm surprised they did the honor system, because ours was that you'd pass it, which it's always a little awkward, but it's always kind of fun too, because then it forces you to meet new people too. Like it forces you to have little conversations with other people instead of just, you know, sticking
ships
to just your table.
Ships we've been on before do that. Like they make you swap, because then that's an honesty, because you're not gonna give somebody points to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe it was just a decision that the trivia host on that ship had made to just do it that way.
Yep, but we went in, it's like, trivia's fun, we're going to do our best, maybe we'll do well. Our closest trivia we came to winning was Star Wars trivia, but we were one short on that one.
It's tough. Disney Cruise Line trivia is not messing around.
No.
No.
It's almost like DL Weekly trivia.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Sometimes trivia lands a little nicer than.
Yeah.
Yeah. My biggest gripe with trivia, though, is fitting into the 30 minutes, 20 questions, I think is just too many. Because they just have to move too fast through a lot of things. And some of the topics and stuff, and especially some of the trivia hosts were really good at like engaging or talking about things. Mm-hmm. And so I think 15 questions is probably the sweet spot for a lot of those of where they should have cut it.
I will say, though, James, that I appreciated the speed sometimes because I know we've been on cruises before where it seemed like they'd ask the question, and they'd be sitting there forever, and it's like, okay, I'm ready for the next question.
That's
like,
true.
Let's move on. And what generally happened on the Disney Cruise Line was the first 20 minutes of the 30 minutes was asking the questions. And then the last 10 minutes was just like quickly going through the answers, which I appreciated because I hate like, because sometimes you get there and they start giving answers and everybody wants to like discuss it and everything. And it's like, can we just, we got more. Let's move on.
There was a perk that all these questions were like vetted. Some of them are sent to like the archives to make sure they're right. So there's a reason that the Disney trivia questions have the answers they do.
Speaking of the archives, one of the cool things about the transatlantic was they had a member of the Walt Disney Archives on the ship, Kevin Kearns, amazing individual. If you've watched the Journey into the Archives on Disney Plus, when Don Hahn goes to Walt's house, Kevin Kearns is the guy that meets him at the house.
Oh, okay.
So that's who was on the ship. Anyway, he had a bunch of talks. He had one called Down the Rabbit Hole, which talked about a bunch of like crazy stuff that's shown up in the archives and stuff, which was really fun.
That would have been good.
He had a Journey into the Archives, which was split into two sections where he would talk a little bit at the beginning, about 10, 15 minutes. And then we'd watch the first half of the Journey into the Archives show. And then he would kind of talk a little bit about it. And then the second one was to watch the second half. Mm-hmm. And he talked a little bit about it. He also had a
Some raw outtakes and bloopers
that were kind of fun. He had The Magic of Walt Disney World, which talked about the book that they made for the 50th anniversary of Disney World.
Yeah,
and he talked about a lot of that. And then he had a Q&A, and the Q&A was pretty cool. The day that he had the Q&A, I felt so bad for him because he did a replay of Down the Rabbit Hole.
He did that day was Down the Rabbit Hole.
Yeah. Yep. He did the Down the Rabbit Hole, and then literally no break in between. He went right into the Q&A. Mm. So when I arrived, he was still wrapping up the Down the Rabbit Hole, but he didn't have a break. And it was like an hour of him talking. And then he went into an hour of Q&A.
Wow. Yeah.
And he's a great guy. Like, listen to him talk. He has so much knowledge. He talks about how fortunate he was that he was able to get into the archives. That was his dream job from the beginning. It's the only job he's had, I think is what he said.
Yep.
Because like he just knew the right people and like ended up, he got very lucky, right time, right place.
Yep.
We also bumped into him a lot on the ship because he told us if he's around the ship, don't feel bad saying hi or whatever. So one day, James and I were playing cards in the atrium, and he was just walking by himself in the atrium, and I like waved. He was like across the atrium, and he came over, and we like chit-chatted for like 10 minutes.
That's so fun.
And we said, do you want to sit down and play with us? And he said, well, no, I got somebody. I'm not sure. I think he was there with somebody else from the archives,
okay,
but was not presenting, but was there.
Sure.
Because I think they were maybe doing the DVC cruise afterwards or something.
Yeah, that could be.
And somebody else. I thought it was maybe his parents or something, but then I think it ended up being somebody from the archives later. And then we also ran into him at trivia because he would do trivia. Now, for those listening, he did the Disney trivia, but he would always only be by himself. He would write his answers down and cover them, and he would never turn them in as like trying to win. He just wanted to like participate.
That's fun.
But not actually win. Yeah. So the one he did participate in, I went and did something else, and James had gone to something and then had met me at this music trivia, was it?
No, this was general knowledge trivia.
General knowledge trivia. James, I come in. James is sitting next, like, not at the same booth, but, like, adjacent to Kevin Kearns' booth.
Yeah.
And they're, like, chit-chatting. And so I come and sit down. And I said, oh, you found Kevin, blah, blah. We're sitting there talking. And he's like, do you want to join my team? Because it was just him. So me and James joined Kevin Kearns' team.
That's
for
fun.
But we didn't do very well.
No.
Because it wasn't Disney.
Yeah. Exactly.
It was tough, though.
I'm surprised that there was non-Disney trivia on a Disney Cruise Line, because
it was probably
again 13 nights though. They had a lot of time that they needed to fill.
Yeah, so it was probably about a third non-Disney trivia, and it was fun because we talked to a lot of the entertainment hosts. So people like Kezia and Mauricio were the ones that really gave us in a lot of this. Oh, and Donovan too. Donovan ran the Kevin Kearns stuff.
The archives talks. Yeah,
yeah.
He's also a big Disney nerd because he actually had a couple questions that he asked Kevin when people didn't have questions. He's like, I got a question.
I've got a question.
He was really cool.
Yeah. Cool.
He was one Very of cool. us. One of us. Anyway.
Yeah, so it was fun because they're like, we get to pull out a lot of trivias that we don't necessarily do frequently, such as Trivia of Imagineering, Sidekicks and Villains were two other ones.
Ooh.
But they also said there's a few more, and they were surprised that they hadn't put them on the schedule or put them out, and instead were repeating some of the trivias. So,
by the way, the Imagineering one, the first like few questions weren't even about Imagineers.
There were about six Imagineer questions. Yeah. 14 were about the parks.
Yeah. Well, we obviously have a lot to talk about with the cruise line. So join us next week where we talk about some more entertainment and, of course,
food.
And the crew. We can't forget about the crew. The crew was amazing. So we'll catch you next week on that one.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwood1.
Texting between two different kinds of phones makes photos blurry, ugly, and security risky. Not just that. It also makes video calling, editing messages, or leaving a group nearly impossible. With WhatsApp, everyone can enjoy seamless messaging with the protection of end-to-end encryption. Streamline your messages across all devices on WhatsApp. Message privately with anyone you want. Click the banner or download now to learn more.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we're going to find out the answers to tonight's questions and see how Tag and Teresa did. How do you feel tonight? Did you do well?
I'm feeling pretty all right.
Feeling good?
50-50.
Yeah. I'm a little upset with myself that we may or may not, I couldn't remember the window. I can see it. I know where it is.
My goodness.
Do I remember the exact words on it? No, because I'm a terrible, terrible person, apparently.
Doesn't mean you're a terrible person. You just don't remember stuff.
All right, well, let's find out how you did. Richard Sherman's Disney Legend window can be found on Main Street in Disneyland. What business name is given to that window? You said Two Brothers Tuning Something. The correct answer that we were looking for was Two Brothers Tune Makers.
So close.
So what are you giving us for that one?
I'm giving half credit.
Half credit.
Half credit. There's not a two-thirds credit button.
A two-thirds.
Okay. Yeah. So,
I've also gotten tripped up with the because there's a piano on the window.
Hey, you're going to judge me? His brother passed a while ago, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what I thought.
Yep. Yeah, I saw something. It broke my heart a little bit. It was a photo of, it's a very famous that photo right there where it's the two brothers at the piano and Walt's with them. And it was they were doing Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. And then Walt like joined in and was singing and somebody wrote like, they're back together again. I was like, oh, that hurt.
Oof.
Doesn't that just like hit you right in the feels? Like, oh.
Your second question, which Sherman Brothers songs are played on Disneyland attractions currently? You answered the Tiki Room, Tiki 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 Room, and Small World, or It's a Small World After All, and which Pooh Bear song were you going with?
The theme song.
Like Winnie the Pooh, that one?
Yeah. Yeah. How does it go?
Oh, you need us to sing it?
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh.
Got the little friendly old stuff with fluff. Okay, sorry.
Oh, that one. Okay.
I don't know that part.
I just wanted to make sure.
I don't know if I got the words exactly right, but yeah.
Well, the correct answer that I was looking for was, yeah, those three. Woo-hoo! Well done.
Good job,
Trivia. I don't have to sing. Okay, I'm the trivia
asker. You had them too.
And the website that I was actually getting all my information from was an older website, and it was saying that the Carousel Progress was still open. So I would have accepted that one if you had gone with
it. It is still open, just not in Disneyland.
Yeah.
And I guess technically it...
So had you gone with the Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow, I would have accepted that.
Yeah, I guess technically it was a Disneyland attraction that is still operating. It's just not currently operating in Disneyland.
Yes. And I guess if you... I don't know for certain, but it looked like from the website at Disney World, you can still see Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow played.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would have accepted that answer had you said it.
Oh, okay. He's leaning on us this week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since apparently I was so mean for the past 3 weeks.
I was just hearing from people in the chat saying that it was a tough weeks of trivia. So,
your third question tonight. Running until August 2017, the Great Movie Ride also featured a Sherman Brothers song. Do you know what song and or what movie it came from? Tag said Mary Poppins and Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Teresa said, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. The correct answer that I was looking for was Mary Poppins and Chim Chim Cheree.
Oh!
Specifically the chimney sweep verse.
I was going to say, now that you say that, I have to look at this up.
There's a scene in the ride where Mary and Bert are sitting on the roof.
Yep,
and
I was going to say, now that you said that, I'm like, I feel like I remember there being a roof scene.
Yep.
Yep. And your fourth and final regular round question. In 1983, the Sherman Brothers returned to Disney to write a new tune entitled One Little Spark. For which character did they write this song? Your answer was Figment. The correct answer that I was looking for was Figment.
You paused way too long there. I was like, oh no.
I was trying really hard to make up something really quick to really mess with you, and I couldn't.
Rude.
But
wow.
But yes.
Yeah, I remember
you
this.
Knew very well exactly who that was and where they came from. Well done.
Good job, us.
Yes. And your bonus question tonight. With songs written by the Sherman Brothers in 1966, 68, and 74, this Disneyland attraction opened on April 11th, 2003. Your answer was The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. The correct answer that I was looking for was The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Woo!
Yay!
Well, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? If you think you've got some great question that you'd really like to hear on the air sometime, feel free to send that in to us at doweekly.net/trivia.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
A special thank you to Sidel for editing the podcast.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go!
With Erleta, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleta is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erleta may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erleta can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea.
Ask your doctor if Erlita is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erlita.com. CP43-9267-V1.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Jean-Lit Foot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Or your grandma here with us, making carne asada.
She does love a cold Corona.
Throw in some dancing.
Oh, we can watch the game.
I'll drink to that.
So a backyard concert with football, food, dancing, and Corona?
And your grandma.
Or we could keep it simple.
Simple is good. Want a Corona?
Thanks. Salud to the perfect day.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.